Welcome to KHD Bible Study. My name is Emmanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilath Haderach Messianic Synagogue in New York City. I lead a detailed study of the Holy Scriptures from a Messianic Jewish perspective, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the Scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore and read the book of Isaiah. Okay, thank you very much for coming tonight. We're going to be looking at some impossible things. That's the best way I can put it, is that literally these things should not, could not happen. They are absolutely unpredictable. So tonight, let us start by giving some historical context. We began our journey with the prophet Samuel and the books bearing his name. We then traveled through the lives of the monarchy in Israel. Along the way, we studied Elijah and Elisha. We next move on to the major prophets. They are considered the major prophets because of the size of their writings, the very large books. The first was Jeremiah, who lived toward the end of the monarchy in Israel. Then Ezekiel, who lived in exile in Babylon. And we added his contemporary, Daniel, who also lived in exile in Babylon. So we had two prophets writing their books in exile, both Daniel and Ezekiel. And Jeremiah, who saw the end of Judah. We saved Isaiah for the last of the major prophets for several reasons. Number one, because of the complexity of his works, and because he is a bridge between the monarchy, meaning the kingdoms, David's kingdom, the house of David. He's a bridge between the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, and the events that take place shortly after that. He is also responsible for giving to us an understanding of the fall and the restoration of Judah. And lastly, his work survived completely intact, hidden and preserved in the modern era, which we talked about in great detail in the first part of this series. So tonight we will look at how the ministry of Isaiah reached through time and bridged the gap between the monarchy, the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah, and its restoration under the authority of Adonai's anointed Messiah. Now, to some of us, that might sound a little strange. The anointed Messiah, we know of one Messiah. Many of us, we know of one Messiah, but that's not all there is to the Messiah. And in effect, there are multiple Messiahs throughout the Holy Scriptures. A Messiah is a person who has been anointed to carry out a mission or to carry out a deed or a thing. And God clearly tells us, he clearly tells us in his Scriptures who his anointed Messiahs are. And so we're going to look at one of them tonight. First of all, let's make it very clear. It's humanly impossible that a man living more than 150 years before another could call out the future man, call out all of his deeds, and call him by name. It's virtually impossible. Even with all of our AI, it's not predictable. There's a similar impossibility that Daniel could predict the rise of the empires in his far future. As a matter of fact, Maria, you can go ahead. Oh, I'm glad you have that up for us already. Thank you. So we're going to look at some of these impossibilities in greater detail tonight, just before we begin our reading. It's impossible that Daniel could accurately predict the rise of empires in his far future, hundreds of years in advance. No AI model can do that today. No man, no prognosticator, no astrologist, No one can predict that. It's also impossible that a man could accurately describe a completely newly terraformed Earth with a mountain holding a holy city and a temple on top of that mountain. Previously, the man who gave this prediction knew of one small temple sitting on a much smaller hill in Jerusalem. So the fact that he was able to give to us in great excruciating details, down to the height of the river, the strength of the water, all of these things in great detail is virtually impossible. It's just not possible. Even the most incredible fantasy writers could not possibly have come up with such a scenario. As a matter of fact, it was predicted by 2024, just to give you an example, that we would all be flying around in flying cars. I don't know about you, but I have not seen a flying car on the streets yet. So there are many, many predictions that the greatest science fiction writers and minds can look forward to and project, but they're often wrong. Ezekiel did that. He actually imagined a completely terraformed earth with a mountain raised up higher than all the other mountains, with a city and a temple on that mountain. So these were not fantastical stories created by cryptic alchemists and long beards and pointy hats. And those of you who love fantasy will know exactly what I'm talking about. These were visions, all given with pinpoint accuracy by a single creator who sees the ending at the beginning. And he's not shy, and he tells us. Make no mistake about it. All these events, from the rise and defeat of Assyria to the rise and defeat of Neo-Babylonia, were all designed by Adonai. Not only did he orchestrate the events, but he also literally took credit for doing so, precisely to the date and hour. And he challenges anyone, wise man, astrologist, prophet, or even the fake god, to sit before him and argue in opposition. So let's look at some of the highlights of these impossible events. Israel came into the promised land. They failed to give the promised land its Shabbat rest as commanded. So God did what he would normally do. He counted 490 years. 490 years were decreed that Israel would not rule in their own land. Why? Because they did not keep the sabbatical years. They did not keep those years. The land was not given Sabbath rest. And so they lost the land, the rulership in the land for 490 years. Now you say, oh, okay, that's impossible. How could that be? Well, I'll tell you how. If you look at the map, you'll see, if you look at the graphic on the screen right now, currently, you'll look at the very top, the first number, 609 BCE, the battle at Megiddo. That same word or that same location will later be called Armageddon, but the battle at Megiddo took place. And in that battle, Babylon defeated Egypt. There were a bunch of other events that took place, and you can see that on the screen, and you can follow that up in the scriptures. But that was the beginning. From that point on, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were on the clock. Their time was counting down. From 609 until approximately 109 BCE, Israel was not ruled by its own kings. Now, there were kings in the middle of that, but they were mostly vassals. Even the great Hezekiah paid tribute. Who was the king who came to power in 109, or approximately 104, 109, depending on the calendar you look at. It was Judah Aristobulus. He was the first Jewish ruler since before the Babylonian captivity to use the title of king. What happened? Exactly 490 years had passed from 609 to 109. Again, virtually impossible. 7 years were decreed through Jeremiah for the rule of Babylon. So Babylon was marshaled in to conquer the southern kingdom of Judah, but they would receive punishment. And that punishment would end exactly 70 years after the decree was made by Jeremiah. From 709 to 538. From 709 to 538, Babylon suffered its fate. And exactly in 539, the kingdom was turned over to Persia. Like I said, almost to exactly date an hour. Number three, 7 years were decreed through Jeremiah for the destruction of Jerusalem. That took place from 587 to 516 BCE. And if you look at the chart, you'll see how I've laid all of those events out for you in great detail. If you're looking backwards in time, this happened during the study of Daniel, this with the 70 weeks prophecies, which to many people have been explained in numerous ways, but I decided to break it down and put it by its actual years and by the times and decrees. So now, getting back to Isaiah, long before Nebuchadnezzar, long before Jerusalem fell in 587 BCE, Adonai declared through Isaiah more than 150 years in advance that a remnant of the Jewish people would return to Judea, released by a king from the east, whose name he called King Cyrus. All these things were foretold in advance by several prophets, hundreds of years in advance. Even one of them being fulfilled so accurately is statistically impossible. I didn't even bring up the fact that Adonai revealed to Moses 1,000 years earlier that these events would transpire. What we are reading right now, when we come to the end of the book of Devarim, you will see that Adonai tells Moses, these things are going to happen. Now, keep in mind, this is almost 1,000 years before these events happen. So, if we're keeping track and we're counting years, Moses is by far the one prophet who was given a picture of the far, far future more than any other. So, now let's go ahead and begin the reading of the chapters. Tonight, I will read chapter 45. Shamashit Malka will read chapter 46. Shamashit Jackie will read chapter 47. And as usual, chapter 48 will be rounded up by Reb Andy. So let me go ahead and begin with reading chapter 45. Once again, just by way of reminder, if you are reading a version that has titles, you do not need to read the bolded titles. Simply read the numbered text. And also, before you start reading, announce the chapter that you're reading. Isaiah 45. Thus says Adonai to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, to loose the belt of kings, to open doors before him so that gates may not be shut. I will go before you and make crooked places straight. I will shatter bronze doors and cut through iron bars. I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, so you may know that I am Adonai, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by name. I have given you a title of honor. Though you have not known me, I am Adonai. There is no other. Beside me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not known me. So they may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, there is no one besides me. I am Adonai. There is no other. I form light and I create darkness. I make shalom and I create calamity. I, Adonai, do these things, do all these things. Rain down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down justice. Let the earth open up. Let salvation sprout and righteousness spring up with it. I, Adonai, have created it. Oy to the one who quarrels with his maker, like a pot among the pots of the earth. Shall the clay say to the potter, what have you made? Or does your work say, it has no handles? Oy to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to a woman, what have you born? Thus says Adonai, the Holy One of Israel and its maker, ask me about the things to come upon my children. Then you will commit to me the work of your hands. I made the earth and created man on it. My hands stretched out the heavens and I commanded all their hosts. I stirred Cyrus up in righteousness and I will level all his roads. He will build my city and set my exiles free with no price or bribe, says Adonai Savo. Thus says Adonai, Egypt's toil, Ethiopia's merchandise, and the tall Sabaeans will come over to you and be yours. They will walk behind you in chains. They will bow down to you and pray, saying, surely God is with you. There is none else, no other God. Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. All of them will be ashamed, disgraced. Idol makers will go down in dishonor together. Israel has been saved by Adonai with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says Adonai, he is God who fashioned the heavens, who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it desolate, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Adonai. There is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a place of a land of darkness. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in desolation. I, Adonai, speak righteousness, declaring uprightly. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, fugitives of the nations. Those who carry their wooden idols have no knowledge, praying to a God who cannot save. Declare and present your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who foretold this from ancient times? Who has declared it of old? Is it not I, Adonai? There is no other God beside me, a righteous God and a savior. There is none beside me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is no other. By myself I have sworn. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and it is irrevocable that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear. They will say of me, only in Adonai is righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. And Adonai, all the seed of Israel will be justified and give praise.
Chapter 46. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops over. Their idols are for beasts and cattle. The things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel. born by me from birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. Until you are great, I will carry you. I have done it. I will bear you. I will carry you. I will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, or make me equal, or compare me? That should be alike. They lavish gold from a purse and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith so he makes a god. They bow down. Yes, they worship it. They lift it upon a shoulder and carry it. They set it in its place, and there it stands. It does not budge from its place. Even if one cries to it, it cannot answer, nor save anyone from his trouble. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient time, what is yet to come, saying, my purpose will stand, and I will accomplish all that I please. From the east, I am calling a bird of prey, a man for my purpose, from a far country. Truly, I have spoken. I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I'll bring my justice near. It is not far off, so my salvation will not delay. I put salvation in Zion, my glory in Israel. Amen.
Chapter 47. Come down and sit in the dust, virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind flour. Remove your veil. Strip off the skirt. Uncover the leg. Cross the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered, and your shame will be exposed. I will take vengeance and will spare no one. Our Redeemer, Adonai Zevoat is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence. Go into darkness, daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no more be called the mistress queen of kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I profaned my heritage. I gave them into your hand, but you showed them no mercy. You made your yoke very heavy on the aged. You said, forever I will be the eternal mistress queen. You did not lay these things to heart or remember their end. Now then, hear this, voluptuous one, dwelling securely, saying in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I will not sit as a widow or know the loss of children. These two things will come upon you in a moment, in one day. Loss of children and widowhood, they will come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and your many spells. You felt secure in your wickedness. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray. So you have said in your heart, I am, there is no one else besides me. But calamity will come upon you. You won't know how to charm it away. Disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. Catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Stand fast in your enchantments and your many sorceries, which have toiled over since your youth. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. You are weary of your consultations, so many. So let the astrologers, stargazers, predicting by new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. Fire will consume them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It is not a coal for warning by or a fire to sit before. So much have they become to you, with whom you have toiled, trafficking with you from your youth, each wandering about his own way. No one will save you.
Chapter 48. Hear this, house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who came from the wellspring of Judah, who swear by the name of Adonai and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. For they call themselves by the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. Adonai Tzevaot is his name. I foretold the former things long ago. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to be heard. Suddenly I acted, so they came about. For I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is iron sinew, and your forehead bronze. So I foretold it to you long ago. Before it came about, I made you hear, lest you should say, my idol did them, my carved image, yes, my molded image commanded them. You have heard, see all of it. So will you not admit it? I proclaim to you new things from now on, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you had not heard them. So you will not say, sure, I knew them. You have not heard. You never knew, even from long ago. Your ear has not been open. For I knew that you are treacherous, and from birth were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For my praise, I will restrain it for you. Otherwise, I would cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, though not as silver. I tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I act. For how should I be profaned? I will not give my glory to another. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Surely my hand founded the earth. My right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. Assemble, all of you, and listen. Who among them foretold these things? Adonai loves him. He will do his will against Babylon, his arm against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I called him. I will bring him, so his ways will succeed. Draw near to me. Hear this. Since the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it existed, I was there. So now Adonai Elohim has sent me and his Ruach. Thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am Adonai, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had listened to my commandments, then your peace would be like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your seed would have been like sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. Get out of Babylon, flee from Chaldea with a shout of joy. Proclaim this, send it out to the end of the earth. Say, Adonai has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts, He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them. He split the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no shalom, says Adonai, for the wicked.
Okay, thank you very much, each of you who have read tonight. I wanted to point out something very significant, especially in that last chapter. I believe the exact phrase that he used is, "You have heard, see all of it, so you will not admit it. I proclaim to you new things from now on, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you had not heard them. So you will not say, sure, I knew them." I asked that question on our flyer, the Bible study flyer. What were the new things? What was this new thing that he created? So rather than leave that as an open-ended question, I'm going to go ahead and answer that. The new thing that he created picks up in earnest in chapter 49, and it carries through to the next few chapters. This new thing, this new way that he did, I'm going to take a step out on a limb and say that he did something, that Adonai did something that he has never done before. He decided that for the sake of his own name, and because he did not want to start all over again, he's doing these things for himself, for his own name's sake. He is going to defer his anger at Israel and Judah. Now, what does that mean? It means that they will be allowed to continue the course that they're on, but that strict, stringent requirement of death and destruction, as he says, otherwise I will cut you off, has been removed. So what does that mean? It's an opportunity. It means, to put it bluntly, that he is intending to save all of Israel. He says, Adonai has redeemed his servant Jacob. When he says Jacob, he is referring to the entire house of Israel. Why is that significant? It's significant because Israel has already gone into captivity. They are in the process of losing their identity. The remaining remnant of Judah is about to go into captivity shortly after the death of Isaiah. About 100 years after the death of Isaiah, Israel, Judah, will cease to be a kingdom. So what he is saying, I'm doing a new thing, instead of like with Sodom and Gomorrah, the people were just cut off, gone. That whole valley, that whole plain was just leveled. With the flood, every single person who was there, who was not on the ark, was cut off, completely cut off. Numerous times in the desert, the earth swallowed up people. He cut them down. But he's doing something different this time. Even though Israel and Judah, the people, can't stop doing the things that they do, as he says, they have stiff necks of iron and sinew. He is going to redeem them anyway. He's going to bring them back, and he's going to change their nature, which we will talk about in some of the other prophets, even though we've hinted at it in some of the major prophets. He's going to literally change the nature of the people when they're resurrected so that they will now have a heart to do the work that he called them to do from the beginning. So this new thing is that, A, he's going to prepare a servant who's going to come and unify the lost house of Israel. He's going to bring in Gentiles for the very first time. Well, we won't say for the very first time because there were Gentiles brought in through Exodus, through the Exodus from Egypt. So we will say that Gentiles in mass will be brought in from many nations. Why? Because many of them have intermarried with and combined their identities with the house of Israel, such that we can't sell them apart. Only God can. Only Adonai knows who is of the house of Israel and who is not. But he's bringing in a major harvest of all of the house of Israel. all of the house of Judah and all of those whom he has placed his name upon. And all of that is going to be combined through one person. That's the new thing. Prior to this, he has never really said what he's going to do. If you go all the way back to the Torah and you keep going back, you keep looking back, you'll see that he never said, I'm going to come down and claim these people for myself. But here he's saying he will. He's saying it so that they can't say, ah, it's in the scriptures earlier. That's not true. It's not in the scriptures earlier. As a matter of fact, Paul calls it a mystery. He uses that term several times. He says, even the angels didn't know what God was going to do, how he intended to do this, how he would send his servant with, how did he say it? Paul said it with the fullness of Adonai, the fullness of the Father, and the fullness of the Ruach. He's going to send a servant. So this new thing is new. It's not there. It's not in the scriptures previously. It's mentioned for the very first time in Isaiah, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, much later, will expound upon it in much greater detail from his time perspective. At no time was Adonai out of control, overwhelmed, or in need of a plan B when he called for Assyria, Babylon, or Persia. Let that sink in for a moment, because people have told us that Israel was rejected. Israel was never rejected. Not only is it never rejected, he said he's doing something new and he's going to redeem every last one of them. So you see, there is no need for a plan B. He was never out of control. And so it is today. Adonai Elohim is in control of all the events in our world. We can't see it because we're too close up on it. It's hard for us to see. And because our perspective rarely steps back, although as messianic believers, we need to be able to do that. We are so caught up in day-to-day living, it's difficult for us to step back and look at our world in the context of Adonai's plan. People are being born, some are made sick, some have passed away. Some are deciding not to marry. Some are deciding not to have children. There's a big new movement coming out of South Korea called 4B, and it's spreading to other Western nations, whereby young women are making the decision they're not going to get married, they're not going to have children, they're going to control their bodies, they're not going to leave it up to the government to dictate what to do. So they've decided to live a life free of male influence. And it's catching on. It's all over TikTok. It's growing. It's spreading. Don't be surprised if you don't know. I mean, don't be surprised if you don't run into a friend here or there who kind of makes similar declarations. So some people are being born, some are sick, some have passed away, some are deciding not to marry, and some are deciding not to have children. On top of that, our food supply is being manipulated and poisoned by corporate greed. You know what when they say whole food, do you know what whole food is? Whole food is food that you purchase in the market, you take it home, you have to clean it, cut it up, prepare it, and eat it. A product is something that's already finished. It's in a plastic package inside of a cardboard box. You take it home, you put it in boiling water, or you microwave it. And if you read the list of ingredients, it goes on forever. That's what I mean by poisoned food. Whole food? You got to pick it, clean it, cut it, chop it up, prepare it, eat it. Product, packaging, foods that you buy in the middle of the supermarket, all of those aisles in the middle of the supermarket with it come in bottles and jars, and it's pre-processed, pre-cut, pre-pasteurized, pre-homogenized. Ingredients have been stripped and re-added to it. That's a product. It's a product. It is not food anymore. And the more of that that you eat, the sicker you will become. Plain and simple. Very simple. So, our food supply is being manipulated and poisoned by corporate greed. Many feel isolated and alone, while others seize opportunities to oppress and crush the weak and the vulnerable. Take advantage of the people who are not paying attention. Steal them from them. Take the things that they want to take. These are the things that keep us from keeping our thoughts on the long-term plan that God has in place for the nation of Israel and for the rest of the world. We are on course to the day of the Lord's vengeance. The nations and the people are attacking Israel and the people of Elohim, and it will increase until one day a strong person enters the world stage and declares that they will bring peace to the Middle East. I'm not making this up. This is exactly from the scriptures. There will be armies of nations gathered to put an end to the people of the book, the nation of Israel, and their sacrifices, which will have been restored by that time. These horrible events is also by design.
Thank you for joining us as we explore the complexity and poetry of the book of Isaiah. Join us each week as we continue to examine the writings of the prophet Yeshayahu, bringing his words into our modern viewpoint.